All right. Welcome back to Arab Talk on KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. This is Arab Talk with Jess and Jamal. And we're quite fortunate to have live from Houston, Texas, Dr. Fadi Judah. Dr. Judah is a physician practicing in the Houston, Texas area, but more importantly, he's a poet and one of the most important, if the most important American or English-speaking translator of Mahmoud Darwish's poetry. Dr. Judah, thank you so much for being on Arab Talk today.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Judah, I should say, was also the 2007 winner of the Yale Series of Young Poets competition. It's the oldest literary prize in the United States for his work, The Earth in the Attic, which was released in April 2008. But in terms of context, Fadi, can you please give our listeners kind of the big picture view of what an extraordinary event this was with the passing of Mahmoud Darwish?
I think that the passing of Mahmoud Darwish would probably have been a painful event regardless of the time or the surprise factor if it happened next year or 2 years from now. I think there is he perhaps represents this rare quality in the human spirit that is just a thirst that is sort of a paradoxical state, that he's always able to quench the thirst of his reader and his public, but also you're thirsty for more after you've just had your fill. He has taken his audience with him to a high level of art, and not some sort of a public oratory status. Throughout four decades, he was able to transform the Palestinian consciousness into a larger Arab consciousness, and from there on, took the concept of exile to a universal state of being that celebrated him, that had the world celebrate him globally. Really, he had an amazing sense of sensing the pulse of the Palestinian people and the Palestinian aspirations and the Palestinian hopes for dignity, and he really sang that in his wonderful lyrical poetry, and I think he also innovated so much in contemporary Arabic prosody, and sang the general state of exile, public exile, that perhaps the average Arab person exists in. To where, as I said, he was celebrated all the way from Baghdad to Morocco, and not necessarily, as is often the case, not necessarily because of the Palestinian political question, but because of his high art. I think it's a reductivism, I think, to always speak of Darwish as some sort of a representative simply of the political tragedy of the Palestinian people.
And Fadi, when did you start getting into his poetry, and what made you decide to start working on translating his work?
I started the playing around with it actually in 2002, but I was definitive about it in 2004, and I contacted him immediately. And he was very generous and open and gave me the chance without previous judgment, because, you know, I just come out of nowhere. He didn't know who I was. And for me, I obviously, like millions of others, I grew up with his poetry. His poetry did take a second sort of resting place in my soul through the years of going to college and medical school and training and so forth. But as the poetic could not let go of me, and I found myself engaged in writing poetry in English, I realized the absence of Darwish in the English literary canon, and I just could not resist his introduction to the English canon. Now I know that there have been people before me who tried to pave the way, and most notably Carolyn Forché and the Lannan Foundation, with other Arabic poets and translators, who you know, and unfortunately it was Paradise, I think, is the first book that put him on the map in English, really. But I do, and I always have, found it very unfortunate that a man who achieved brilliant, world-class, you know, really immortal poems since the mid-1980s, particularly with his volume Fewer Roses in 1986, and onward, that he would, you know, wait nearly 15 to 20 years before somebody introduces a work of his in English that sort of opens the English readership to this amazing endless well of beauty.
Fadi, maybe you could maybe comment on that a bit, and as to why someone of such expansive literary reach throughout the world, Latin America, Africa, Europe, and beyond, why he had such little reach within the English-speaking community, at least here in the United States?
There is no way for me to answer that except to play the game of conjecture. And, you know, you could argue that there were no successful translators early on in the 80s and 90s. That's possible. I do believe that Darwish is a sort of a politicized name for many people who probably didn't want to deal with it, to put it simply. And, you know, and I don't necessarily think that that's not the issue anymore either. You know, similarly, I mean, if you look at Pablo Neruda, he was only translated in English nearly a decade or less before his death. And, you know, Neruda had an amazing productivity and wealth of output for decades, and only in 1961 or 63 or something like that was he translated into English and appeared in English. Some of it, perhaps, in Neruda's case was because he was a communist and there was this, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be some sort of an active, you know, premeditated notion that they're going to set Darwish aside. But there's also the problem, and I think this might be more in the U.S. than in the U.K., that there is a revolution around the self, as opposed to the ocean is too wide. I think the Atlantic Ocean is too wide and too far. I think in the UK there has been greater reception of his work and faster reception. Even with The Butterfly's Burden, the week, the month the book came out, there was a stunning review in The Guardian, whereas the book has yet to be reviewed in the United States.
Just want to remind our listeners, we are experimenting with a new site now where we're streaming video of this interview. The site is live.yahoo.com/KPOO. We can also take your questions online. You could chat with us. You could ask our guest, Dr. Fadi Jude, any question you'd like. The topic is, of course, the late Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish.
So, having said that, Fadi, I wonder if you could just comment a bit. I mean, he has identified more provincially as a Palestinian or as a Arab poet, but his reach as a literary figure is actually much larger than that on the poetic and literary stage. Could you comment on the extent of his reach beyond the Arab world?
Yes, I mean, I think that, you know that in France he was, you know, in a sense he's one of the best-selling authors I remember being with Doctors Without Borders in Darfur, and one of my team members had a book of poetry for Darwish with her in French, he was able to have audiences by the thousands and hundreds in Europe. He was well celebrated in Spain. He obviously had a close kinship to Lorca and to the Andalusian spirit, or the Andalusian vision, not necessarily the Andalusian elegy. I think that the prizes that he has won in Europe and in Africa and in Eastern Europe tell of the awareness of the rest of the world of his stature. He has won the Prince Claus Award in Holland. He was given an honorary doctorate degree in Brussels. He won the Lenin Peace Prize. He won the Lotus Prize from the African Commonwealth of Writers, and several other things. And he won the Storga Golden Wreath Award from Macedonia just last year. So, there was this wide celebration of his poetry, and he's been translated into about 20 or 30 languages. He has achieved immortality through his art in the sense that he was able to transfer the local and the regional into a universal state. And I think people the world over recognized when they read his poems or when they read his poems that this person was speaking to a universal and timeless human condition. Now, he did say in the 90s that he eventually, found out how to break out of his early, sort of Palestinian shell, if you will, in the 70s when he discovered that Palestine is a metaphor and not a fixed entity. And so he began to reach out of himself. But I think he went way farther than that after that, where people sometimes get fixed on that, discourse of his Palestine as metaphor, quote unquote, where in fact now he has gone past that to the point where he's developed the Sufi lexicon, or he's redeveloped the Sufi lexicon, where the self is in perpetual dialogue and with its other selves, the I and its feminine I, the I and the stranger other, the I and the enemy, the I and its she and its you and its he and its we and so forth. Not to reduce it to pronouns, but this dialogue, he basically brought it back to the individual level. He was the I and the we. He used to be to speak in the collective voice, especially in the early 90s with his amazing epic poems. But he always saw himself as a human being who loved and failed at love and tried again and just was this very frail, tender character. And I think it also shows in his poetry.
Fadi would like you to read for us something of your selection and tell us why you picked this piece today.
I will read a poem called They Don't Look Behind Them. And I read it because it has a refrain in it. And the refrain is telling of one of the important features of Darwish's numerous features of writing, which is the celebration of life. It is really hard to pin him down to a particular aesthetic or idea, but this is just one of the ideas in Darwish's canon. And so here goes.
When did he?
This is written in 2003, in one of the three books that are collected in my book, The Butterfly's Burden, and. It is a book that he had written after State of Siege, which was a memoir journal entry into, about the second intifada, excuse me. But after that, he found, you know, the true lyric poet in him came alive, and he wrote this long sequence of 47 sections called In the Lust of Cadence, because he did not want to be oppressed by the state of siege, if you will, even though that he wrote that poem. He wanted to be alive beyond it. And so, in a sense, this poem is one of a small series of poems that really addresses death and humanizes the dead in general. But you'll see what I mean about the refrain. They don't look behind them to bid exile farewell, since ahead of them is exile, and they've intimated the circular road, so there's no ahead and no behind, and no north and no south. They immigrate from the fence to the garden. They leave a will in every meter of the courtyard. Remember after us only life. They travel from the silken morning to the dust at noon, carrying their caskets filled with things of absence, an identity card, and a letter to a lover with an unknown address. Remember after us only life. And they depart from the houses to the streets, sketching out the wounded victory sign, telling whoever sees them, we're still alive, so don't remember us. They get out of the story to breathe and to sunbathe. They dream how to fly higher, then higher. They ascend and descend, come and go, and leap from ancient ceramics to the stars, and they return to the story. Endless is the beginning. They escape from sleepiness to the angel of sleep, who is white, red-eyed from contemplating the shed blood. Remember after us only life.
That's the voice of Dr. Fadi Judah reading an extraordinary piece from his recent collection of Mahmoud Darwish's work. Dr. Judah, we can't thank you enough for joining us. I want our listeners to know that you've taken time out from your busy schedule as a physician, and actually you're in the middle of a shift right now. We can't thank you enough, and I want to let our listeners know that Dr. Judah, as I mentioned before, is the winner of the Yale Series of Younger Poets Competition. It's the oldest literary prize in the U.S. Fadi, where can people get copies of your work that you've translated, as well as your own work?
Well, I mean, I suppose in today's moment, I you can get it on Amazon, but sometimes you find them in bookstores. They're available, and I actually think the Darwish book has been well received as far as sales go. And I would like to mention that the United Kingdom Society of Authors has honored the book just last month and gave it their award for Arabic translation. And it was such a lovely news to me that, in fact, and to Darwish, that he called me at home to congratulate me, and probably was one of the last. A few happy surprises that he had in his final days.
Well, Fadi, we want to thank you again and wish you the best of luck in your own literary career, as well as we know that you have a book coming out of more of his translations next year. We'll have you back on the show, and we want to hear more of your work as well as your commitment to translating Darwish's work.
Thank you. I'd be delighted.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Fadi Judah. We're going to take a short musical break right now. And when we come back, we're going to be speaking with the Free Gaza Movement live somewhere in the Mediterranean. Stay tuned. This is Arab Talk.